Welcome to the God's Word portion of the worship from Daleville Christian Church. It is a new year, and I've been asking people this week, is it still a happy new year? And most of the people say, yes, it is. And if they ask me, I say, well, I don't want to oversell it, but so far, so good. And I believe you'll discover why that is my answer through the message today. We begin, as we always want to begin, with the reminder of the content of our faith, and we use God's Word to express that for us. And our affirmation of faith is from the letter to the churches in and around the Greek town of Ephesus in the fourth chapter. You were taught, with regard to your former way of life, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. The reading of God's Word for today is from the letter we call 2 Corinthians in the fifth chapter, verses 14 through 21. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So, from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view, though we once regarded Christ in this way. We do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. I want to begin today with the words of another writer I found online, and I'll add a few of my own words. The writer stated, I'm a sucker for new beginnings. That first page in a new planner, the satisfying 01 on the first day of a new month. How about 1/1/2023? So many possibilities, so many opportunities to forgive the sins of the past and move on as a new, improved, and I would add, redeemed version of myself, for a few days at least. In truth, when I look back at the breakthroughs that set me down a better path, or the days a conscious effort to improve became a habit instead of an obligation, I never remember the date. A new beginning, after all, can happen at any time. I just add that Jesus also said that. This new beginning can happen right where we are at any time. Now, in the writer's experience, the new beginning rarely happens all at once. If that's what we all need to remind ourselves as we make it through the first few weeks of 2023, so be it. My brother, at age 75, still has New Year's resolutions of things he wants to accomplish in the new year. My brother is 75 years old. Hasn't he earned a recess from self-improvement? Obviously, my brother doesn't think so. I admire that. I gave up New Year's resolutions years ago. My life and your lives were too hectic to think that I could accomplish a certain task in a year's time. Nonetheless, when we turn to God's Word, how many times is the word new used in the New Testament? Now, Americans generally don't like change. They don't even like the word change. However, Americans love, absolutely love, the word new. Advertisers have known this for decades. All you have to say about a product is new, and some people will buy it simply because it is new. New car, new house, new computer, new phone, new iPad, new iPhone, new carpet, new church. What the French proverb says is completely true: all beginnings are beautiful, as in a new relationship, a new romance. Ever notice that no one wants an old romance? We're not even supposed to call our worship service an old-fashioned worship service. People will stay away from that. But if you say that what we do Sunday morning is trad worship, as in traditional worship, people will generally cut you a break and check you out. Let's face it, there aren't too many of us left who know what traditional worship is, do we? Just don't call it old-fashioned. Another news story that I ran across last couple of weeks, the news shouldn't be news to you folks. We are aware of it. The headline states, Congress is more religious than the United States. What that means is that those who represent the voters claim a religious faith, and the people our representatives represent, the voters, do not claim a religious faith. I take this as a good news, bad news article, but there are a few of us that take this as bad news article, since some of us are not sure that Congress ever represents the best of faith expressions in this country. But the message today is not about Congress. No, today's message is about us, the citizens of the United States. Nearly 3 in 10 Americans, think about that number, 3 in 10 Americans claim no religious affiliation. We've given them a name. They are called nuns, N-O-N-E-S, nuns. When asked their religious affiliation, they answer none. So two statistics go together, and two statistics have been going together for decades. The number of people who identify as Christian has been declining for decades. The number of people who claim no religious affiliation has been increasing for decades. One conclusion we can make is that people are not failing to join churches. Americans are failing to claim any religion. All the religions in America are failing to gain followers or members. Now, I don't know if you find this news depressing, but let me remind you, all we're talking about is people who claim or who do not claim a religious faith. This says nothing about the quality of Jesus' followers in the United States. And I know that we all know that the quality of Jesus' followers in the United States is not all that good on many levels. Like worship attendance and giving, philanthropic giving. And unfortunately, we only look at those numbers because they're measurable indicators. We can track and measure those things. The number of churches closing their doors forever is a regular occurrence in this country. Another aspect of that statistic is the number of church buildings for sale on the general market. There are no congregations to buy all those church buildings. If you're curious, you can Google search church buildings for sale in my area. You'll get almost a dozen websites that list them for you. So what is the problem? Well, since we know that there are more Americans than ever before and fewer Christians, then Christians are not keeping up with the population growth. But it's actually worse than that because the Christians we've been adopting are not as committed as we might have liked them to be. And the new American Christians are not much better at getting the word out about Jesus. So what can be done? Well, let's get back to some basics. I almost used a different set of Bible verses for today's message. I almost used the first sermon that Luke records of Jesus's when Jesus quoted the words of the prophet Isaiah in chapter 61. We find it in Luke's Gospel, chapter 4. Verse 17, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to Jesus. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." I used these verses not too long ago as a first sermon of the year with the emphasis that our God has New Year's resolutions for us. Whether we have New Year's resolutions or not, and whether we keep our New Year's resolutions or not, our God has New Year's resolutions for us. Good news, freedom, recovery of sight, recovery and relief from oppression, and the year of the Lord's favor. Since that was Jesus' message, that is our message. That's the message of the churches. That's what today's Bible verse says about us. Personally, I don't know anyone who would say no to what Jesus proclaims. Do you know anyone who would say no thank you to what Jesus said? I can only conclude that we are not getting Jesus' message across. Now, it's possible that the American deaf are still deaf and can't hear Jesus' message, but the deafness is in their hearts, the deafness is in their minds, the deafness is not in their ears. Jesus said, "Those who have ears, let them hear." And that's a part of the problem, that Americans have trouble hearing that this is good news. We Jesus followers have to take that into account. That is part of our responsibility. Do we need to use different words? Do we need to use a different language to proclaim this as good news, or do we need to smile when we say it? Let's face it, if we're not convinced that what we proclaim is good news, then we will have trouble convincing anyone else. Sometimes when I talk to an audience, and I don't know the audience very well, I will refer to the God I serve. The other night I spoke to a support group for grieving people. I told them that the God I serve cares about them. I quoted the prophet Isaiah chapter 61. I also quoted Psalms 34:18. The God I serve says, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit." So I don't claim to know what my audience has already heard about the Christian faith or what they've heard about the God of the Christian faith. In the past history of the Christian faith, those who claimed to be Jesus followers owned slaves, abused them, and were married and abused their spouses. I try not to assume what my audience knows about the God I serve, the Heavenly Father, and Christ the Son. I always remember the report from a missionary who, while in the field, had an African woman say to them, as she was so glad that her husband had become a Christian, and the missionary asked how she knew that her husband had become a Christian, and she told the missionary, "My husband stopped beating me." It's still true in America that not every Christian woman in this country can say that. So I continue to talk about not the God of Christianity, but the God I serve, the God I read about in the Bible, and the Jesus I know. Now, I can and will also say to anyone that there are limits to my knowledge, but gratefully, my healing and my saving is not based on what I know. And if I get the chance, I recommend that my audience pray more. No matter what they think they know about God or about Jesus, one of the promises of the prophet Jeremiah was that those of a new covenant, there's that word new again, new covenant, would know the Lord their God. Jeremiah 31:34. But read the whole chapter. Strangely enough, one of the things that I have to keep reminding myself is that the Lord wants to see me come to Him in prayer. The Lord likes me. The Lord likes having me talk with Him. Growing up in my hometown, I can't remember people generally who wanted to talk with me or hear me or spend time with me, whether they were in the church or not. So I continue to remember that the Lord wants me to pray and pray more. I told the group Thursday, I don't see anyone in the Bible who prayed too much. So maybe I'm not the only one who needs to be reminded that the good news that Jesus proclaimed really is good news. That our Christmas celebrations were about the God of the universe who came to get us, who came to claim us, in and through Jesus. Jesus came in order to help us. Jesus came in order to save us. Jesus came to get us back for the Heavenly Father. Jesus came in order to bless us. And Jesus came in order to make us a blessing to others. That a new year can mean a new and improved version of Gary McManus, because the word new shows up in the New Testament portion of the Bible, God's Word, over 100 times. I get another chance for the Lord to make me a better person. And the Lord knows I never did a good job of making myself a better person or trying to make myself a better person. I can only recommend to you what I recommend to myself. Keep looking for the good news in your own life and in your own Jesus following. And that is what you share with other people. So, for example, if you're glad that I'm a pastor, or you're glad that I'm a pastor at Daleville Christian Church, or you're glad I'm your pastor, you have to thank God. That was all the Lord's doing. That is the God I serve. I call upon the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to be a Jesus follower. I want to follow the Lord more nearly day by day. And I know the Lord will help me do that. As the apostle to the heathens wrote, the apostle Paul, "For Christ's love compels us. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." Amen.